happy and never loud. Let the men like this gathering.
Well, folks, grab a bottle while you can still swallow. L'chaim, everyone. This is the New Yiddish Rep Radio Hour with my co-host, Alec Burkow. V'shetzach v'smachtayin.
L'chaim,
l'chaim. L'chaim, tov v'shalom. And we have a very interesting show tonight. We have guests from a new theater company. I'm going to let them tell you about it. It's a Shomer Shabbos Theater Company, and I'd like to get right down to it because this is an interesting thing that we're going to be talking about. So would you please, folks, would Jesse, starting with you, would you introduce yourselves? And you know, I'm particularly interested in what backgrounds you grew up in, what religious backgrounds you grew up in. Because I don't. Many of you probably did not start out in religious homes, so I'm interested in that you know, journey that you've taken as well. So, Jesse Friedman, Jesse, are you there?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, David. It's great to be on the show. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Go
Hello?
Ahead. Yeah,
can you hear me?
We can hear
okay,
you.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you so much. It's great to be on the show. I grew up in a somewhere between Reform and secular home in suburban Connecticut. I went to a Jewish nursery school, multi-denominational. And then I became Shomer Shabbat, Shomer Mitzvot, somewhere in the middle of college after I had not stepped in a synagogue since my bar mitzvah. I took a trip to Israel and then got interested in Orthodox interpretations of the Torah. And that's my religious background, and I've been hanging out in there since.
Well, that's interesting. Who's next? Avi?
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I come from very sort of European home. My parents are from the former Soviet Union, but they were very, very traditional. My grandparents spoke Yiddish at home all the time, and, you know, we kept all the holidays and all that stuff, but we were never really Shomer Shabbos or anything. I was born in Israel, and when we came here, I was 3 years old, and they sent me to a yeshiva up until second grade, and then they took me out and sent me to public school. And then I was in public school up until high school. And then they switched me back into a yeshiva. And somewhere, actually like Jesse, somewhere around, you know, the middle of college is when I really started getting into it, started really, you know, becoming more and more Shomer Mitzvot and Shomer Shabbos, and now I am.
Well, and how about Dorit?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I grew up in a modern Orthodox home, what you would call a modern Orthodox home, here in Brooklyn, New York. And that's my story.
So you really come from a modern Orthodox background.
Yes.
And that's what you grew up with, and you were always comfortable with it.
Yeah, definitely. That's where I'm comfortable. That's my community. You know, that's where I grew up and what I've been used to. Exposed to different things, you know, over the course of my life, for sure. But always Shomer Shabbat, Shomer Kashrut, and basically Shomer Mitzvot in an Orthodox way. So, but my family is open-minded and definitely more progressive. So I would say modern Orthodox, yeah.
Okay, and we have one last guest. Want to jump in anytime there?
Hi, I'm Yoni.
Yoni, yes.
Like Dorit, I grew up in an Orthodox home, and I am still Orthodox. I grew up in Manhattan on the Upper East Side, and I went to Manhattan Day School, Yeshivat Or Torah on West 75th Street, and then I went to Yeshiva University High School in Washington Heights. Then I did a year in Yeshiva in Israel before college, and I went to NYU where I studied theater. And I met Avi actually in high school when he transferred in his junior year. And then, you know, I've been, I guess, Shomer Shabbat Torah Mitzvot, you know, as best I can. My life, and I come from that background. My parents my mom's from Israel originally, and my dad is from here. He came to America as a young child from Germany. So sort of a religious, I would say also European-influenced religious home.
You know, let's go back now. This is the one thing. Now, let's go back and talk about your relationship to theater and art and intellectual expression, artistic expression. What your experience of it was, as seeing as how two of you do come from Orthodox homes to begin with, and seem to have had a comfortable that fits well, that suits you, that's okay with you. But I'd like to know what led you to art, and why you decided to form this company, and generally the topic of artistic expression versus Shomer Mitzvot and Shomer Shabbat in the greater context of a religion with certain rules, a discipline with certain rules to it, and how those rules affect how you approach theater, how you feel about it, whether you're comfortable with those rules, and so on and so forth. I know that's a lot to talk about, and there are, but can we start with Jesse, and could you, in leading up to that, tell us about the company and when you decided to form it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll start off talking about the company, and then I'll go back and talk about how I came to it through my artistic journey. 24/6 is a artistic home for Shomer Shabbat theater artists who are committed to artistic excellence. And to rephrase that is we're looking to do professional quality work as Shomer Shabbat artists, and to establish within that an artistic home, whatever a home might be to each artist, and hope we can provide home for this community. I came to the arts very, very young, probably about 4 or 5. My parents noticed that I was really, really into magic, like David Copperfield on television, and they signed me up for a magic class at the JCC, and it just performing in front of people was something that I really, really enjoyed, and they really enjoyed watching me do. And when all of my other friends in the class kind of dropped out of it, I kept on doing it, and I kept on performing, and it was very, very natural for me to be on stage. entertaining, kind of doing my showbiz thing. And then it seemed it was a very, very natural and easy transition into plays at summer camp and in school. And it was sort of the one thing I never questioned was that, oh, I feel very comfortable on stage and I'll continue to do this for the rest of my life. And I was in musical theater in high school. And when I went to college at the New School in New York City was when I was first exposed to other types of theater other than American comedies and musical theater, such as the American.
Jesse, we've lost you.
Hello? Outside of. There we go. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're back.
I didn't know I dropped out. I guess I'll just pick. I'll pick up where I. I'll just keep talking.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I'd like to ask. I'd like to switch over to someone who has grown up Orthodox. So, Dorit, growing. You know, what
Actually, David, I'll jump in for a second.
Yeah.
I was really struck by what you said, sort of this opposition between. Sort of a religious lifestyle or home and artistic expression. I guess my personal experience was that it wasn't actually a versus. They were actually really fed one another, and I grew up in a home where there was a lot of singing at the Shabbat table of Zmirot. My mom had LPs of shows at home, and I would listen to them. A lot of stories were told, you know, about sort of life in Germany and the culture. My grandfather, who sadly I never met, my mom's mom spoke 8 languages, had tons of books up to the ceiling in his home in Israel, which I, you know, was there every summer. So I saw on the bottom shelves, I saw the closest at hand were the Talmuds and the Talmudic encyclopedias and all the great rabbinic writings. And as you climbed further up, you saw in French, Victor Hugo's Les Miserables. I saw Peter Brook's The Empty Space. I saw a ton of books, and they're all sitting comfortably together on the shelf. And that's really the sort of the orthodoxy I grew up in of my grandmother, you know, being able to speak about Goethe in German and discuss sort of the ballet and how watching sort of television, watching an opera, watching a ballet in her house, saying how wunderbar and gemütlich, everything is so wonderful. And I really grew up, I guess, in an orthodoxy which focused on the idea of kodim tia ben adam, first be a mensch. I didn't really feel.
Let me ask you, do you have personal limits that you set yourself in terms of the type of theater you will or will not do?
Definitely, and there have definitely been, you know, opportunities that I've turned down because I didn't feel the material sort of expressed a worldview that I felt comfortable with. Definitely in college, when I was studying at, you know, NYU Tisch for 4 years, I didn't work on Shabbat. I was Shomer Nagiyah. I would leave the room when there was, you know, certain content in the directing class, which I didn't feel sort of comfortable with. I was very sort of aware of what my.
Jeez, you must have spent a lot of time outside the room.
What? No, actually, I didn't. I was working with the same group of people for the first year, and they actually gained a lot of respect for me.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't out of the room a lot. I was actually in the room.
Well, that's great. It's interesting because, you know, purists would argue that art can't be limited by convention.
Can I speak to that, David?
Yes.
I agree that there is that perspective, and somewhat of a counterpoint is that art without convictions, strong convictions underneath it, is empty and uninspired and void. And I personally, that's the connection between the theater and my religious callings, is that strong convictions engender very good theater.
That doesn't really speak to the question, but it's not a question that needs to be spoken to. I don't think. You know, people can say what they like.
Sorry,
what was the question?
We were talking about the conventions. That purists would argue that you cannot limit art with any kind of convention.
I think any sort of art is, I mean, you know, however purist you may be, there are limits to what you do on stage. And
not these days.
I mean, the Romans had to murder people on stage. I don't think that would really go over very well.
There's always some sort of limitation. I mean, you're not dealing with reality. You're trying to create a reality with the limitations that you have. And I think, you know, using our, as you say, religious limitations will only help us enhance the art. It'll cause us to be more creative as opposed to more sort of, you know, do what everyone else does.
Before we talk about the specific project that you're going to be doing, which I'd like to get into pretty soon, I want to ask you, in terms of theater, people who see themselves as theater professionals, I don't know how many of you do, but it sounds like many of you trained for theater.
All would define ourselves that way.
Pardon?
We all define ourselves as theater professionals.
Okay. As theater professionals, you are limiting your opportunity to work quite a bit. And there are people who I know who are Shomer Shabbos kosher, and, you know, they go to shul when they can. But if they get a gig in a regional theater in Missouri, they go. If they get a film and they have to shoot on Shabbos, they shoot on Shabbos. These are the realities of the profession. Wonder how you all think about that when you think about your future in the theater and in the arts.
I think that's definitely, I'm just speaking for myself right now. I can't speak for the company on this point, but I've definitely faced that in trying to develop a professional career, and specifically in the acting world, where you have less say over what the schedule is. That there's definitely those moments where you're sort of faced with the decision, what's more important to me, being Shomer Shabbat or doing this project? And I think that's like really unfortunate. And because of that some people, this is, again, speaking for myself, sometimes I would tend to have to sort of separate out the religious part of myself and the artistic part of myself. And okay, now I'm being the artistic part of myself, and then I can go home and be the religious part of myself. And I think what this company strives to do, and why it's so important to me, and I think will be for people in my shoes, is that the realization that I came to is that you're your strongest artistically when you're being honest and when you're being your full self. If you don't bring your full self to the project, it can only go so far. And so having a venue where I can be these two sides of myself and they don't feel opposing, but the two nurture one another, is such a great opportunity. And I think that's why it's so important and why I'm so excited about it.
Oh, very good. Well, I know that you've embarked upon a show, a piece that you are rehearsing and hope to bring to light. Could you talk a little bit about the piece and about how you chose this particular approach to your first project?
Yoni.
Jess, do you want to take
it? No, Yoni, I was going to say you should take that.
Okay, so we're called 24/6, and we decided for our first show to explore Abraham Joshua Heschel's book, The Sabbath, which is one of the sort of the major books on the idea of Shabbat in the 20th century, written by one of the major Jewish theologians of the 20th century. We chose the third chapter, which is Heschel's retelling of the Tractate of Shabbat, page 33b, about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai entering into debate about the values and the problems of Roman culture, and Rome being the sort of occupying power in Israel at the time, and he critiques the Roman culture and its values, and he is sentenced to death, and he and his son flee into a cave, where they live for 12 years, buried up to their necks in sand, except for when they're praying, and they sustained by carobs and a spring that miraculously open up. And once they leave the cave, they are so into the world of their Torah study, they say Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is the author of the Zohar, the main book of the Kabbalah, that literally they were burning up the world around them with their eyes. Everything was set afire. They were not able to live within this world. And God sends them back into the cave for another year as a punishment for them to, I guess, in some way reintegrate or to figure out a way to come back. How do you join back into the world after being away from it for so long? And once they leave the second time, they meet a man carrying two bunches of myrtle for Shabbat, and he... and seeing him sort of taking something of the world and using it for something higher are reintegrated into the world and are able to live. We're doing 6 10-minute pieces, each one sort of a riff or an interpretation of that story, some of them really far away from the original text and others hewing closely. So that leads up to like an hour of material, and then another 10 minutes for the audience and the actors to reflect on it, paralleling the idea of the Shabbat itself.
I see. Well, you know, in the origins of the theater were, in essence, religious. So I guess there's still a place for it in theater. Well, how does this also relate to the green theme that originally I heard was part of this?
I'm sorry, we're just having a little trouble hearing you. Do you mind repeating that?
Yeah. How does this relate to the green theme, which I thought was a part of the theme of all these pieces? Hello?
Jesse?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Do you mind if I take that?
Please.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah. So in Heschel's the beginning point of Heschel's book is that the impulse for humankind to conquer space comes from the desire to dominate space and to the greater emphasis of space dominating over time. Shabbos being the way we create monuments of worship in time versus monuments of worship in sort of an academic point, but what Heschel is concerned with is the problem of civilization. And this is a distinctly modern problem for Heschel. And so the point where we take it up is, what does a Shomer Shabbat theater company have to offer the modern world? And right now, where we are a civilization that because of our really technological advances, we're ecologically destroying ourselves. Despite our desire to survive and to live happier and healthy lives, we're destroying the world through our desire to conquer space. And so what we're hoping to look at is that was the beginning point, is what does this have to do with the historical moment? Why does the world we need right now need a Shomer Shabbat theater company? And could it possibly have something to do with this radical perspective on time? That discussion is where we, as a young theater company trying to determine our mission, wants to figure out, why are we relevant? Why should we exist? And these are the kind of questions that we're asking. And the environmental movement and consumerism and commercialism, as it has an impact on other spheres of life, are part of the things that we're looking at, we're trying to engage with politically or spiritually, if there's a distinction.
Oh, I see. Now, you know that... there are other theater companies that are quote-unquote Shomer Shabbos in the sense that they don't perform on Shabbos or Yom Tov or rehearse on Shabbos or Yom Tov. I believe the Volksbühne does that, and I know that the New Yiddish Rep has always done that. You're going a step further than that, and you're saying that what you would like to do is be a home for Shomer Shabbos artists who want to work in the theater without feeling uncomfortable or constricted. Would you let a non-Shomer Shabbos work in a production?
This is a discussion that we're having right now, because we're trying to cast a show, and it's a pretty large cast, and there's some holes that we're trying to fill, and so it's a discussion we're having right now. Would someone else like to jump on that?
Yeah, I think we're starting off with Shomer Shabbat actors, but with everything, the idea is to not only create a home for Shomer Shabbat actors, but to create a bridge between Shomer Shabbat actors and the larger, and artists in general, theater artists, and the larger community, both within having a community of Shomer Shabbat audiences, people who may not normally go to the theater or may not feel that there are themes that sort of relate to their lives on the stage, having sort of a place to go and to hear their stories presented, but also to be a voice within the larger community and to be a bridge between Shomer Shabbat artists and sort of the larger theater community, which we work with, but to be more intentional in the way that we do that. So yes, we're interested in involving people who are not Shomer Shabbat within sort of our artistic dialogue and our work, but it is a home. About actors, so we're going to start there.
Okay, and how do you feel about certain material, for instance, musicals? What are your ideas about Kol Isha? What are your ideas about men and women dancing if something calls for dancing? Just how far are you going to take the Shomer Mitzvot concept?
I mean, one of the things that we've been discussing is that we realize it's going to be a case-to-case basis. It's going to be a huge learning experience for all of us involved. You know, we all come in with our beliefs and our convictions. And as production is suggested, you know, as we're ready to grow to whatever the next step may be, we'll be able to sit down and discuss that show and discuss what its limitations may be and how we can work with them to sort of enhance the production. So to say that we have it completely written out and, you know, we can open up to our book and say, well, if they're singing, this is what we're going to do. You know, we don't have that answer yet. But the point is that we're very open to discussion and to learn. We're excited to learn what that answer will be.
Dorit, I'd like to ask Dorit how she feels about that. How do you feel about Kol Isha and all these issues, these men, women issues?
All these men, women issues? That's a big question.
Let's stick with the Kol Isha. Because that's the one that's going to come up more than anything else when you do theater, especially if you do musical theater of any kind.
Yes, for me personally, I do sing in front of men. However, I have friends who I've sung with in choirs and who I've worked with in performances who do not. Therefore, I think that really the way to go, and we're going to have to figure this out, like Avi said, but the way to go and working this out on a case-by-case basis, working with the actresses and actors involved and seeing what they're comfortable with and what the piece calls for, I think is the smartest way to go. Because if you have somebody like me, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready to sing in front of an audience. But the point is to have a home for people and for women, and I respect this very much, to have a home for women who would not sing in front of men where they can perform too. They're not automatically banned, you know, from participating in the company because of that.
I understand. I understand that. What about your audience? You see, you're going to say, well, we were Shomer Shabbos and Shomer Mitzvot theater company. Your audience is going to come in, and somebody's going to say, there's a woman singing. How can you call yourself that? How are you going to face these controversies? These are issues that I know are going to come up for you.
Yeah. I think it's important to make clear that nobody stumbles into a theater by accident. So if we're doing a musical...
Well said.
Right. If we're doing a musical, you know, and there's going to be women singing, part of our responsibility is going to be to advertise it as such. So if our general audience, you know, prefers not to see that show, they'll know that
women are cross-dressing.
You know, they know what they're getting themselves into, because part of our responsibility would be to advertise what our shows are so everyone understands what's happening.
I think also today there's a very great diversity within the religious community, especially I would say in the United States, about what people do and what they don't do, and the halachic sort of their legal responses to issues of women singing. There are definitely yeshiva high schools which do musicals, which are, you know, Orthodox schools, and they're, you know, they have women singing. And so it's sort of a case by case as to we're not only about sort of what is the halacha, but how are we reflective of the diverse community that we're supposed to be representing? So there are going to be shows which they'll, you know, there might be women singing. Again, I'm not going to say there's going to be, because it depends on really the material and what we want to speak about. What are the issues we want to talk about in our shows? But we want to express something about the community. So there might be, as Dorit said, a show where women are performing for women, and we're able to really tap into a community not only of women performers who don't normally get a chance to perform, who are usually silenced, but also an audience who normally doesn't go to the theater, and be able to really speak to them very specifically. And it's a great opportunity to create work that speaks to very distinct communities depending on the show.
Yeah, well, look, I have no. I think that's cool. I mean, when New Yiddish Rep was at the Workman's Circle, one of the things that we sponsored was a woman doing open mic nights for women only. You know, I don't see any objection to it. I mean, I can't see as, you know, why I. It's not something that I can't accept. I'm not particularly. You know, it's not within my ken to say, okay, that's the kind of thing that I would, you know, obviously I couldn't go because I'm a man. It's just a little bit mudna, if you know what I mean, to me. But, that, you know,
what's
certainly
mudna?
Strange. I supported it, and I would continue to support it. You know, it's okay, but... you know, to me, it's not exactly the evolutionary path that I personally am seeking for. But look, within the realm of the theater company, I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's also the realization that there's a lot of theater that, you know, we as Shomer Shabbos Jews, or I should speak for myself, it's not fair, that I'll never, you know, there's a lot of nude theater. I wouldn't go see it. I'm just not comfortable with it. It's not within, you know, my religious borders to go see nude theater. So I stay out of it. Do I feel I'm limited as an artist, or, you know, I'm losing sort of, you know, I'm missing out on much? No, it's just not my thing. I don't go to see it. So if we're doing something that doesn't happen to, you know, is not for our audience or certain audience members at that moment, that's the, you know, they'll skip this particular production.
Well, let me ask you a question, just to establish some parameters, some borders. Would you go see Cat on a Hot Tin Roof on Broadway?
Will I go see Cat on a Hot Tin Roof?
Yeah. Would you go see some of the Tennessee Williams pieces, the more well-known ones where, would you go to that type of theater?
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right.
And to say that I haven't been in a show where nudity has happened, that I would lie to you. Also, you know, they don't spell everything out when you go see a play, and you don't know what to expect, and sometimes that's part of the shock value.
Exactly.
I like to do research before I go. I like to be an educated theater, you know, patron.
But there are some times when, you know, a certain amount of realism is effective in a theatrical piece. And some pieces are written strictly with that in mind, that kind of in-your-face, over-the-edge shock value theater. Look, you got an interesting journey to go on. I mean, to me, I think the issue that if you're going to work in this business that you're going to face is the whole Shabbos, Shomer Shabbos thing, more than anything else.
Right.
Because even the most harmless of or plays that you consider perfectly fine to perform in, generally speaking, they are going to be performed if you're working in a regional theater or even off-Broadway or any kind of a professional
situation other than your own, and the Volksbühne or the New Yiddish Rep, you're going to be required to work on Shabbos. And, you know, that's a tough one to get around, especially for people who want to make their living doing this.
That's what this is all about, isn't it? I mean,
yeah. Well,
that's why we decided to set the rules, you know. Right. We don't work on Shabbos. We don't have to.
Yeah, Well, I was speaking more of you as individuals. I mean, you know, as idealistic as you are, and I hope that this theater company grows to the extent that it can support all of your artistic endeavors for as long as you care to be artists.
Well, there are troops like this in Israel, aren't there?
Are there? I don't know of any.
At least I've heard of such things that I assume they support themselves, or you know, maybe with government support.
Can I jump in on this kind of like on this topic of like, you know, there's really, it's important to understand this company in terms of like a wider context of acknowledging the variations of people who are attempting this project. Certainly the Volksbühne and New Yiddish Rep, who are Shomer Shabbos to a degree, just like we are Shomer Shabbos to a degree, and there are other like Atara, which is a great organization that's doing great work, and there's a Shomer Shabbos theater company in Baltimore and in Teaneck, and they're all doing they're all doing great work and very, very differently. So I don't think we're trying to do good work and build a home for ourselves, and other people who feel at home are welcome in our home. And hopefully for those who don't feel welcome in the home that we've created, there's another organization, there's another company that is a home for them. And I encourage as many Shomer Shabbat artistic homes for everybody who can fit under that roof. And more than anything, I think what we're seeing is in this generation is more and more of these projects building up, which make greater and greater success for artists like us all possible. And hopefully we'll all be working together one day under various different sets of rules.
Various different sets of rules. Yes, yes. Well, suppose you tell us the people involved, who's directing, who's performing, and then, of course, very importantly, where and when you will be performing.
Okay, so I am devising a piece, and I'm working with a playwright who's providing some text, but part of it is a text, and part of it, which is actually a song, and part of it is sort of physically created with actors, and we just started the audition process today, and it was very exciting to meet some artists and audition them. My specific piece is exploring sort of a Japanese take on this material, very contemporary, take in a karaoke bar after hours at work, when the salaryman, after a deathly long day at work, unwind in the bar, and sort of the issues of extremes of work in Japan, and sort of the Shabbat as an antidote to it, juxtaposed with a song which tells the Shimon Bar Yochai story in a really, really fun and exciting way.
Hmm. Okay.
That's one of the pieces.
Okay. Listen, before time wears on and we run out of time, tell us when and where. I mean, people got to know where to go and when and what, how much it costs.
Yeah, so it's the Sixth Street Synagogue, which I think is 325 Sixth Street off of Second Avenue in Manhattan. It's going to be at 8 p.m. on Motzei Shabbat, Saturday, December 11th, and Sunday, December 12th at 6 p.m. Rabbi Greg Wall is now trying to book some speakers to contextualize our work into the larger idea of Heschel. So he's hoping to find some speakers to talk about Heschel's work sort of at large. And it's as far as the amount of money, I think we haven't figured out yet sort of what the admission is, but if people are interested both in learning about our company and want to find out more information about these work in progress performances, which is what they are going to be, they can email us at 246@hotmail.com. That's TWENTYFOURSIX@hotmail.com, and we will gladly send them the information.
So you're still trying to decide what you're going to charge, if you're going to charge?
I mean, I think right now we're looking at a suggested donation at the door. We definitely think that's – I mean, this is a work in progress. It's a work in progress. The show, the final production of the show is going to be going up in early 2011. So right now what we're going to be doing is we're going to be trying out the six pieces at whatever level they are in front of an audience to sort of get a feedback. Yoni spoke about one of his pieces. There's five other pieces directed by one by Jesse, me, and Dorit. And there's a puppet-driven piece. There's one that's going to be created by actors. So, you know, they're all going to be tried out in front of the audience the weekend of December 11th to 12th. And using that feedback, you know, we're going to go back into rehearsal for full production in early 2011.
Well, that's lovely. You had one that you dealt with this toxic thing that people picked up exploring, archaeologists. I remember reading your list of shows about some toxic poisons that were absorbed by these archaeologists.
Oh, cave fever.
Yeah, what's that about?
Well, one of our collaborators brought forward this idea of cave fever, and Dory, you're the one who you picked that up, and where did you gave it to a playwright, and what happened with that?
No, that was mine. I was.
Given Avi.
Yeah, that piece was given over to me. It was very interesting conceptually. This idea that there's such a thing known as cave fever, where what happens is people go live in caves for, you know, religious experiences, and they have these religious experiences, but there's also these gases and fumes that are emit in caves, you know, that are created in caves, and people don't really know if they're really having a religious experience or they're hallucinating because they're actually, you know, they're feeling the effects of the gas. So that piece was given to me, and I gave it to a playwright who's part of the company, who's actually studying in California, to sort of explore that and turn that into a play, and he was sort of working on that, but he also came to me while reading the Heschel text and was actually struck by a specific line in the text and asked me if he could instead sort of, you know, go that route and follow that piece because that really hit home. So right now, the cave fever piece right now is sort of being shelved to be approached again later and developed later, and we sort of went a different route with that.
I see. So when you say influx, you ain't kidding.
But yeah, it's a very alive process.
No, a very positive one. Well, that's great. Let's tell the people once again where and when this is going to be at. It's going to be at the Community Synagogue. That's 325 East 6th Street between 2nd and 1st Avenue at 8 o'clock, December 11th, did you say?
And 12th.
Yes, 8 p.m. December 11th and 12th.
Oh, and 8 p.m. on the Sunday as well. Okay.
Oh, and so 6 p.m. on that Sunday. 6 p.m. December 12th.
That's,
and there's a matinee.
Oh, you got two shows on Sunday?
No. That's the plan.
Oh, so one at 6 and one at 8, is that it?
Sorry?
There's a performance on Motzei Shabbat on Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sunday at 6 p.m. Those are the two performances.
Oh,
the title of the piece is The Sabbath Variations, The Splendor of Space.
Okay. Make a note of that. It promises to be very interesting work. You guys are going to, as you say, you're going to have to see how to approach things as they come along, because that's the only way you're going to be able to tread your way. It is a bit of a minefield.
Yeah, but isn't every artistic career, David? Isn't every artistic career and every artistic endeavor a minefield?
Look, you are imposing a very specific. You're proposing a discipline on another discipline, so to speak. You know,
that's true.
I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that sometimes two things don't quite match up the right way. You know, they don't. It's not. It's just the way it is. I'm not trying to make a judgment.
For sure.
So there are going to be individual decisions that you are going to have to make as individuals, and follow your consciences. And that's basically the way I see it. The fact that you're doing this is an admirable thing. I wish you much success with it. Are you having any trouble getting Shomer Shabbos actors?
No, we've actually, it was really exciting today to meet some actors, and we're going to be meeting some more soon. So I think it's sort of, if you build it, they will come. We are meeting people, and we're hoping to meet more people, and we'll see sort of how it goes.
Uh-huh. I know, Jesse asked me if I would do a part, because apparently it's harder for you to get older people. Shomer Shabbos actors, is that the truth? Is that the case? Has that been your experience?
Yeah. Well,
I think it's a generational gap, and there are definitely a lot of younger Shomer Shabbat artists. I think it speaks to sort of the comfort level of the observant community today that there are many more people studying the arts than there were in the past. So it makes sense that there are more younger Shomer Shabbat artists than older ones. And I think there's also been a sort of a religious and spiritual sort of resurgence and renaissance in this country, not only amongst Jews, but amongst all faiths. So that usually speaks to the younger generation. So you're going to have more younger Shomer Shabbat artists.
We also have a pretty young. We also have a pretty young network that we started looking at. It's to the credit of the playwright that I asked to write this piece for me that he wrote an intergenerational play. But I did ask him to write a play about a father and a son, it's a wonderful challenge to have to. Cast and work to get to cast and work intergenerationally. It means we have an opportunity to expand our network.
Indeed. Well, I wish you luck with it. Is there any? Are there any other disciplines? Is there a dance piece involved in this? Of the pieces that you're going to do, does any dance involve?
My piece involves movement. I don't feel comfortable saying dance because in college we had choreography for directors, so it's choreographed, but it's not necessarily dancey. It's more gestural based.
Right.
Movement always plays a part, I would say, at least in my work. And in my piece, it's also a guy will be the guy. It'll be a guy singing, not a woman.
Okay. That's okay. At least it doesn't need a decision on anybody's part.
Safe out the gate.
The last question I want to ask you before I make some announcements about from the new Yiddish Rep is where do you see this company 2 years from now?
Three play season.
Where do we see it 2 years from now? I can tell you we have a lot of sort of, we're looking to institute seasons, sort of. Right now we're talking about 3-4 shows a season, so we can have regular seasons. We can have, audiences who are members with, of the theater company, patrons. And one of the big things, one of the main reasons why we started this company was because, a Shomer Shabbos artist is a huge minority. And we want to make sure that we let other Shomer Shabbos Jews know that if they want to be artists, once they're out of school, they have a place to go. But also, when they're in school, they can come to us and work with us. And we're looking right now to start an education wing, a mentorship program, to eventually have young, from Jews who can come and work with us and learn from us and know that if from that point on they go to school and pursue the arts, that when they're done, they can come back to us and be and work with us and be in our productions. Right. So we do have a lot of great ideas for the future of the company, but right now we're very much focusing on this production.
Yeah. We're definitely, we're all passionate about education too. And I have a master's in theater education. So, I certainly come from, my ideal is fusing the two. So, so I'm really excited that that's part of what we're hoping to incorporate definitely within the next 2 years into the company.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
And can I just say one more element of what we're trying
sure.
to say,
sure.
to say quick is we have a great gift in that we're working from the Shomer Shabbos artist community that we're going to get a lot of Shomer Shabbat audiences. We don't have to compete with other theaters in New York because we're looking at sort of an unsaturated audience base. However, we definitely would like to be a force and a presence within the New York theater community, both among artists and among audiences. So we're not just out there for Shomer Shabbat or only Jewish artists. We want all sorts of people across religious and faith backgrounds and communities to come see our work. And we think that they'll love it, and they'll really gain and contribute to the relationship between audience and artist.
Well, I just want to thank you guys, Jesse and Yoni, Avi, Dorit. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you.
And good luck with the project. Best of luck with it. We'll try and catch up with each other a few months from now, see where it's at.
That would be wonderful. Great. Thank you so much.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. Thank you, David.
Take care. Well, this is New Yiddish Rep Radio Hour, the radio program nobody listens to. But I'm finding out that people actually do listen occasionally. Somebody, it always shocks me. But hey, Alec, you still there?
I'm still here.
Lubos Meister.
Nish Kusha.
Yeah, Favus Nish. Look, you of all people, you should know before the audience knows, actually, that we are going to be doing a reading of Shylock, Jacob Adler's adaptation of The Merchant of Venice, at YIVO on January 13th.
At YIVO? I didn't know this.
No, you didn't, because, you know, we just kind of now, you know, put it all together. But we are doing it. There'll be a short lecture. We're trying to get Nama to do it.
Oh.
Just a very short orientation about Shakespeare and the Yiddish stage. And then we're going to do a reading of The Merchant of Venice, it was termed by Adler, Shylock. That's what the TypeScript has on it, and that's what it was known as to many Jewish audiences. In essence, we're extending the run of Merchant of Venice. Pacino's closing on the 9th, and hey, folks, you don't have to miss it. You're just going to see a very different show. Well, he cut the hell out of it. I mean, nobody wanted to know. His audience didn't want to know about Portia and the suite, all of that. So he kept enough to...
just enough to keep it together.
Yeah, just enough to keep the thing about him needing the money because he loves this girl, you know. We're very excited about it, and we'll keep you posted. Laser, I'm leaving on Tuesday for Italy and Israel.
Oh, yes. You're going to perform Yossel Rockover.
I'm going to perform Yossel Rockover in Italy and then in Israel. I'm going to be working with Mendy Kahan. And Yankiv Shapiro. And it's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to coming back and working on the Merchant of Venice piece, and hopefully at some point we'll be able to get a little more of a production out of that. So exciting things are happening, and I hope you all out there are preparing frantically for the Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa season. it's right here upon us, and it's already crazy out there. And since we're just about out of time, I'm going to take you out with a little tune in the spirit of the holidays. Loser. Zamigizit.
Laser.
Okay. Liebes Meister Laser.
No, that's good. It's a felt me. You know, my father's not Jewish, so I always travel out to travel out to him Christmas time. A very Jewish Christmas.
Hey, listen to that. Isn't that kind of dick?
You know, all the best Christmas tunes were written by Jews, after all.
No. I like the balalaika. I got a few more. Was it a food for the young people?
Ja. Also wie gewöhnlich. Wie lange ist das ein Stroh?
Nine Tage, acht oder nine Tage. Ich mache nicht.